Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship, Lord God. I ask that in the name of Jesus that you bless us, that you keep us, Lord God, and that your spirit will be here with us, Lord God, that your word will be rich and powerful, Lord God, and we ask forgiveness for our sins. We ask to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Spirit of the living God, teach us and lead us in this word. In Jesus' name, we love you. We thank you, Father. And as I decrease, increase in me to teach your word. And all those that agree said amen.
Amen.
We're in 15, St. John 15, starting at verse 20. We're going to back up a little bit. I know we went down to 25, but I'm going to back up a little bit so I can approach some of this from a different perspective, because we have to understand where the hate is coming from. And hate seems to be a great thing that's going on now. And the world is going to do everything it can to twist the truth to call us the haters because we won't comply to their way. And so you need to understand where this is coming from. So it says in 20, remember the word. 15:20, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours. So he's setting the standard to let you know that the world hates him. And the only reason the world hates him is because he is not a part of the world. He is the truth. The world does not want the truth. And if the world hates him and you serve him, then the world is going to hate you. And that puts me at a place of questioning. When you see Christian people and they are so in tune with the world, you got preachers being set ablaze, their character being tarnished and shut down because they want to be like the world. See, people don't want to be separate only God anymore. They want to look like the world. They want to operate in the world. They want to do things like the world. And you can't do that. You cannot be a pleaser of the world. You cannot be afraid to hurt those people who are in the world. You do not need to go to places and hang around people who are functioning worldly. That does not diminish you in their eyes, but it keeps you from getting set up. Because they will set you up if they get you into a position. I don't know what position that is, but they will set you up because they are the world. And we should not expect anything different. Maya Angelou said, when people show you a glimpse of who they are, believe them. You could tell who they are on your job. You could tell who they are in the church. You could tell who they are. But somehow, especially in the church, we want to believe people to be something that they are not. Because we see potential, we see good, but that's what we need to call it. This is potential. This is not where they are yet. We see some good, but that does not mean the whole thing is good. Are you following what I'm saying?
Amen.
We need to be able to call it ace of ace, like my mom used to say, in a spade. You need to make the difference. And even if you don't openly say that and testify, you need to at least know which way is up for your own sake. Because you're lost if you don't know which way is up. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. Do you know where the truth is? Do you know who your God is? Do you know what your direction is? And if you do not, and you ever set down your guard and you lose that, whoever is not of God is going to twist your mind. And it's not because they're mean, evil people. That's not what we're saying. But there is a spirit that is in this world, and it is demonic. It is always there waiting for the opportunity to lure you away from God. See? And it will use people who actually like you to set you up because they are not a part of God. They are a part of that spirit, and they don't even know it. And they are being used, totally manipulated, to set you up. And you think they hate on you. They're not hating on you. They're puppets. The puppet gets held up by strings. That means there's somebody, excuse me, or something behind the scenes pushing them to do what they do, and they don't even know that they're being pushed. And you have to understand that. Now, it doesn't matter what walk of life they're in. They could be your school teacher. They could be your boss. They could be your best friend. They could be your cousin. They could be family members. It doesn't matter where they come from. But if you don't understand this, then you are setting yourself up for deception and you are setting yourself up for a trap. And if you do not have that in your mind, then you cannot fight against what's coming, because they will, your love for them will lull you into a false sense of security. Have you ever seen a good brother and a bad brother? And the good brother is always getting caught up behind the bad brother. Why? Because the good brother loves his brother. He's always getting into situations. And we had a thing, a saying in Compton. If you get into a fight and you're a brother, don't come get your other brother. Because guess what? 99% of the time, it's the good brother that's going to get killed. And the bad one's going to live. This is the way of the world. See, the way of the world, Earth, Wind, and Fire said it best. You plant a flower and grow a pearl. See, it's all about that money. You got to understand that. You got to understand that. If you do not understand that, then you're going to miss what Christ is saying. So he's saying that the servant is not greater than his Lord. He said, if they persecute me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours. So that is the defining line. A person that will not keep the things that you tell them about God, or will not gravitate that, will turn on you. The Bible says another way, don't cast your pearls before swine. Why? Because they will turn and trample you with the very thing you said. So when you see somebody in church say something, or you see the preacher speak something, and then you find people always trying to pick that thing that he said apart so they can find a way to say, see, you was wrong. When that's their mindset, they are swine. You don't get to go around that. They are swine. That does not mean you don't love them. That does not mean you don't be there for them. That don't mean that. But you need to know who you're dealing with. Because if I know you're operating as swine, then I know that I'm not going to cast no deep nuggets before you because you can't comprehend it. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's just the way it is. Everybody's hungry to eat. And so it says in 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my namesake, because they know not him that sent me. What is he saying? All these things, they're going to persecute you and they're going to come against you. They're going to turn cold on you for his namesake. Why? Because his name does not mean anything. Why? Because they don't trust the God that sent him. They don't believe. They know not the one that sent him. See, if you know God, then you would know the Christ. Jesus said it best. If you see, when you see me, you have seen the Father. And when you see the Father, you have seen me. Now, people are Christians. Just let your mind wander. What do they know? Do they know God the Father? Very few. Do they know Jesus Christ? Very few. But they claim to know everything else. Well, if they don't know God the Father, and they don't know Jesus Christ whom he sent, what makes you think that they're 100% sold out for Christ? See, this is a no-brainer. I'm saying again, that does not stop you from loving on them. That does not stop you from ministering to them. That does not stop. But you got to know where they're at, so that when they start to lash out at you for his name's sake, then you understand they don't even know what they're doing. And you see the greatest example of that on the cross. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And that is like the greatest thing that we have, that where we got to get people to understand. You need to know what's coming your direction. You need to be able to see there's nothing wrong with you hanging and being with people who don't believe as you believe. Jesus did it. But Jesus knew where everybody was at all times. Peter and them went out and ministered. Paul went in the city. One city, he got stoned. See? And according to them, he died. God resurrected him and Timothy, and they went right back in the city and preached the same gospel that they thought they had stoned them from. See? But they knew who they was dealing with. You see what I'm saying? Knowing truly is a part of the battle. See? Don't be blind. And don't be blinded. And don't let your love blind you. Don't love your brother just because he's your flesh and blood. Love him, but don't love him to the place where you follow him. See? Well, you know, I love my brother, but I'm not going to follow my brother. And my brother ain't going to follow me. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
You just got to learn some things. This is all a part of growing up. This is all a part of maturing. Scripture says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I spake like a child. But when I became full grown, I put away childish things. The way we think about people is these childish things that we got to put away. They got to be set to the side. See? What is childish? Oh, I'm all caught up into my emotion. See?
Yeah.
I love my job. I'll never leave my job. How do you make a proclamation like that and say you serve God? What if God called you to Canada to go preach and your job won't let you go? I love my job, so I'm going to have to take the shot. Huh? You love your job, so you have to take the vaccination? You know it's not good. You have all the proof. And because your job says so, you have to take it. No. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No. That jab thing is a big thing. But there are so many other ways that people sell out. Bosses think they have the right to tell you or talk to you any kind of way. And people accept that for money. I mean, who's bigger, that job and that boss or God? You know what I mean?
Amen.
When they told me about the religious stuff and they said, you know, you could play the music real soft to yourself. I said, if that's a problem, I don't need the music because I am in a relationship with God. I said, you can't stop me from singing songs and melodies in my heart. So I'm in a relationship with God. And they say, no, well, you ain't got to, we just want to get, no. I don't want the radio. Take it away. And they looked at me. That's not what we're saying. That is what you're saying. Yeah. When you agreed, and then the girl said, the same one got in trouble, they said, well, if you want church, you need to just go to church. Religion is not, you know, supposed to be tolerated in the workplace. I said, oh, really? And I saw she wanted to argue. I'm not going to argue with you. I said, I'm letting you guys know I do not agree. My compliance is I'll give up the radio. That is the only place that I'm going to comply. Then I went to my boss and told him in his office, you see this? And I looked up the law. What just took place is a discrimination, and you're supposed to be a Christian. You know, in 1964, they passed that law. You can't discriminate against any religion. He said, you know what? I never even thought about that. But you're the boss. And you're a Christian. He said, well, why do you say that then? Because I didn't want the argument. I'm telling you. Now I'm telling you that I wear Jesus on my shoulder. I say good morning, which means God's morning. I say hallelujah, I say thank you, Jesus. I am not going to stop and I am not going to change. Now, if that means you have to fire me, then do what you got to do. Because guess what? When I came here, I was looking for a job. And when I leave here, I'll be looking for another one.
Amen.
Period. Why? Because I don't belong to the world. I belong to God. They fired me at the laboratory in L.A. because I wouldn't take the shot. I don't belong to the world.
That's right.
I belong to God. Amen. At that time, did I know I was coming to Washington? No, I didn't. But I know that was part of God's plan. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
God has got to be first. Now, this is not to bring up hardships or headaches for anybody else who's gone through it, or even if you've taken it. You know, we just got to pray some stuff up out of you. And I have this thing called Golden Seal that flushes stuff like that out of you. I remember when Zaire took some shots. I didn't want him to take them, but he did. And we're not going into the story of it, but I made sure that I was sprinkling Golden Seal on his food. He didn't even know it. I quit feeding him a lot of pork. I was feeding him turkey chops. He thought they was pork chops. I would hammer the bone in there. I was good. I was good, boy. I'm telling you. And he said he felt so violated when he found out they was turkey chops. But they was good.
Yeah, of course.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
How far are you willing to stretch and sacrifice? Because in your everyday living, that's how you make God known. You don't have to disrespect people with it. You don't have to get into arguments with it. But just understand that those who are of the world are going to hate you. They may not hate you today, but when they really see your stand for Christ, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. But it's really not you. It's him that they hate because they do not know God. See, you got to understand where it's coming from. So that's why he said in 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. So what is he saying? If I had not come and spoken, see, I came in the world to reprove people of sin. That's what he came for. He said, if I had not spoken, don't answer it, just get out. If I had not spoken, then they wouldn't even know that they had sin. But because I came and spoke the truth, now they know they have sin. Isn't it amazing that a lot of people who call themselves Christians and God's people won't even speak the truth? And then the people don't even know that they have sin. But isn't that our job to speak the truth?
Yes, sir.
Listen. Don't be in a relationship where you can't tell the truth. When you know something is wrong and you can't speak the truth, see, let me clarify. Because whenever people say relationship, they think husband and wife, girlfriend, boyfriend. It is not just that. Number one, I don't know why you wouldn't be with somebody you can't, you know, tell the truth to, that you can't really speak your heart to. See, that's a trap. See, if you can't really convey your heart, then that's a problem. But I'm talking about outside of that. Brother to brother's relationship, brother to sister's relationship, job, church, parishioners. Why would you have a pastor that you couldn't tell the truth to? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're wrong. It doesn't matter if the way you express yourself is negative. It that's what you're feeling, you ought to be able to go and speak to your pastor and tell him so that you can get the correct guidance. These are relationships. See, I'm not going to sit on no job where I can't, I got to be something I'm not. See?
Amen.
I'm just not going to do it. Busy time today. Can you cut that off, please? Is there a way to cut the phone off? Yes. So, we have to get to the place where we start pushing the truth. Why is that important? Why do you think the truth is so important? Because when you're talking truth, you're not just talking truth. You're speaking Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He came to reprove people of sin. He came to speak the truth so that you would know that you have sin. See? That was the whole purpose of coming. And hope that you receive. See? But it says here that if he hadn't spoken unto them, they had not had sin. Because they would have knew no better. But now they have no cloak for their sin. There's no hiding place for sin. Why? Because the truth has been spoken. And that's what people don't want to do. We don't want to tell the truth. We don't want to speak the truth. We don't want to bring the truth. We don't want to deal in the truth. We'd rather turn a deaf ear. You see what I'm saying? And that's society. Why do you think the society is so caught up in lies? People believe everything under the sun and call it God. How do you think that's possible? Because they are ignorant of the truth. And now when you speak the truth, they don't want to hear it. That's on them. You can't get caught up into it. That's on them. He says in 23, he that hated me hated my Father there also. 24, if I had not had done among them the works which no other man did, they had not had sin. In other words, if he had not come and did the work that no other man had done, then they would not have had sin. He said, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Why? Because he came to reprove them of sin. He came and did the work. See? There's no more work that you need to do. You may do it on a greater level, but the stage has been set. All you got to do is believe the Christ and speak his truth. And if they love him, they will keep the things that you're saying. If they do not love him because they don't know the Father, they are going to reject what you're saying. And I'm not even talking about people that are sinners. I'm talking about people that are in the church. He says in 25, but this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without cause. They have no reason to hate him. They have no purpose to hate him. See? And if you're sitting back wondering why people don't like you, then you are in a bad place. Why? If they hated your Lord without cause, then know that they're going to hate you too. Yeah. But you have to understand, they hated him first.
Yeah.
He says, but the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. So this is where people should be using the Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter, to testify of the Christ. Excuse me. So that they can deal with the hate. Got to deal with the hate. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say. The Holy Spirit will give you what to, as you pour the word into you, he will recall scripture up to speak to those who is hating on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to those who is coming against the Father. Speak to those who don't know the Father. See, I don't think anybody teaches this about the Holy Spirit. They only teach the gifts. But they don't teach the real purpose of what the Holy Spirit came for. Jesus is telling you that he comes as the Spirit of truth to testify of him. And he's going to use your mouth to do it. So therefore, in these hard situations when they hate you, you will be comforted. He said in 27, and ye also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. He says in 16:1, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Why did he speak these things unto you? That you should not be offended. He's trying to tell you ahead of time, they're going to hate you, that you won't get offended.
Amen.
He's trying to tell you they're going to lie on you, that you won't get offended. They're going to persecute you, that you will not get offended. Because you must know this, they don't know God. So you got to kind of understand what we're heading for. Because as Christ goes to the cross, if you get caught up in that, you're not going to have no choice anyway. So what are you supposed to do? Cry and hate and build all that stuff up in you, and then once you die, try to go to the heavens? No, it don't work like that. You got to stay absent of hate. When they hate you, you got to love them. When they persecute you, you got to understand that they don't even know. And that's a reason for you not to get offended. They are going to come against you. And he's putting these things out there for you so that you should not be offended. 16:2. They shall put you out of the synagogues, which were the churches. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God's service. Remember Paul at the time that he was Saul? How he was killing Christians, thinking that they were doing the service of God. And Jesus had to meet him on the Damascus Road. Why am I telling you this? Because we have got to start preparing the truth for the end time. It says, and all these things, in 3, will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. So how do we shut that down? By giving them the Father and giving them the Christ, teaching them who God the Father is, teaching them who the Christ is. So look at all the brothers in the church that we know. Look at them. Do they know God? Very few. Do they know Jesus Christ? Very few. They will be the very ones that come after you to persecute you, unless we get a place and open up in our mouths and teach them about God the Father and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. It's not going to happen any other way. This is the fight. We are trying to win souls for the Christ. We're trying to get people to know God as the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. Why is that important? Because the Bible says this is life eternal. To know God as the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. You don't need to know anything else. It's a blessing if you get to know gifts. It's a blessing if you get to know ministry. It's a blessing, but that thing you got to know, just like the thief that hung on the cross, he didn't have to come down and get baptized. He didn't have to come down and get baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in unknown tongues. He didn't have to go through none of that. He knew the Christ.
Amen.
See? Yeah. Therefore, he knew God the Father. Because when you have seen the Christ, you have seen the Father. And when you have seen the Father, you have seen the Christ. See? And if you know that and know them, you shall have eternal life. If you do not know that, I don't care what else you know. I don't care how many degrees you got. I don't care how many churches you got. I don't care how much money you got. You are not going to know them. Why? Because without them, you don't know. If you don't know them, you do not know love. And I'm going to end with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Spirit just gave me this to tell you. Chapter 13, it says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which is love, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, a noisemaker. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and can understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, charity, love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, love, it profit me nothing. See? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinking no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, we know charity is love. How many know that God is love?
Amen.
So, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoicing in the truth. Love beareth all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endureth all things. Love never fails. And then with God being love, it is a very picture of God. God suffereth long and is kind. God envieth not. God vaunteth not himself, is not puffed up. Does not behave himself unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not easily provoked, thinking no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. God bears all things. God believes all things. God hopes all things. God endures all things. God never fails. Period. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word. We just ask that you touch all those with this word. Let them go over it, Lord God, and study it. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you for using me to minister to your people, Lord God. We love you with an everlasting love. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bless those that would hear this podcast. And I ask that you would just send your anointing out over it. In Jesus' name, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for using me, Lord. And all those that agreed said amen.
Amen. Amen.
Segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated. Committee destroyed the whole city. one by one. Make you kill off each other with the knife or a gun. You having fun, but in the end you'll be judged by the Lord, cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking up some truth into your souls I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger, and get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger. Right, don't delay, stop thinking with your worldly ways. Cause what you sell out to the devil ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you lie, and ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tells you what you wanna hear, but you know he good for lies. Rebuke and keep on stepping, that's your weapon and it work. It don't matter what he say, it don't matter where he lurk. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend. Cause trust don't get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow. So pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
People, get ready, cause he's coming.
That's between him and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true Savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors. And yet he forget you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire and the pain will never cease. Plus, ain't no getting out, though you're begging again at least. There is hope. Seven seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there, loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit to the angel of death. You better think about it, come up on your last breath. Repent for all your sins. Learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare. We live in the last days.
People.